my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Bring your cares unto me.
From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here's your host, Jim Manfredonia.
Well, a very good day to you, my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia. As always, it is a great joy to share this hour with you every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And we do repeat the program every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 10 p.m. in case you missed the broadcast at 4. We also archive all of our domestic church media programs on our website at domesticchurchmedia.org. So if you ever miss a program that you'd like to listen to that we produce here at Domestic Church Media, you can listen. We also archive our video programs like this one. We're on YouTube. On our YouTube channel, youtube.com/domesticchurchmedia. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. It doesn't cost you anything. We don't hassle you in any way. When you subscribe to us, the more subscribers we have, eventually, if we have enough, we could actually monetize the channel, which means we get a little money back. Not from you, but from YouTube somehow. I don't know how it works. But anyway, so the more subscriptions we have, the better it is for us. You'll be notified anytime there's a live program, like right now, on YouTube, just a quick notification saying if you want to watch it, you can click right here and watch the program. So all kinds of ways that we use, the Lord allows us to use, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why we're here. And today, Thursday, it is Catechism Day, so we're going to go back to the Catechism of the Catholic Church today, starting on the sixth commandment. We've been going through the Ten Commandments, and today we start the sixth. I also did yesterday, it had not been posted yet, but I did see it is posted today, a Holy Father's general audience teaching from yesterday. And he opened a new chapter in his ongoing catechetical series on vices and virtue, he reflected yesterday, we'll talk about it in just a few moments, to the origin and nature of virtue itself and underscoring its value for human formation. So we'll hear from Holy Father on that. But first, we're going to pray, my friends, and as we've been doing, I tell you, do you feel the power of these prayers? You know, we're praying so hard to keep families intact, strong, holy families, families of prayer, little domestic churches. That's what the church teaches. Every home must become like a little church, a domestic church. That's why we named this apostolate Domestic Church Media. And you know, when we first began back in 2003, 21 years ago, our 21st anniversary will be on May 5th coming up. When we first started and we used the term Domestic Church Media, a lot of people didn't know what it meant. They were a little confused. Originally, I thought of using the Latin term Ecclesia Domestica, but that would really confuse people. So we changed it to Domestic Church Media. In the Second Vatican Council documents, the church teaches that every home must be a domestic church. And that's why we call our apostolate Domestic Church Media. And with the intention, as we founded it, as Cheryl and I began our work over 21 years ago, it was to use this apostolate to promote the cause of marriage and family life using all forms of media. Now, again, I don't take any credit for this because the Holy Spirit placed it on my heart then, a long time ago. Our main focus was to bring Catholic radio to New Jersey and Pennsylvania. And when I told the members of my board that I wanted to christen the apostolate as Domestic Church Media, they said, why don't you call it Domestic Church Radio? I said, because I believe it's going to be much more than just radio eventually. And so here we are, coming to you on all different platforms. And Certainly God knows what he's doing. I don't. And so he has to hit me over the head sometimes. And that was a divine inspiration. Let's pray, my friends. And we're praying this prayer of deliverance we pray for ourselves. We have authority over our own bodies. We have authority over our spouse. And we have authority over our minor children to be able to cast out demons. So we pray this prayer. It's from CatholicExorcism.org. You can look it up yourself if you want to. Just go to CatholicExorcism.org and click on their deliverance prayers for laity. And these are deliverance prayers the lay people can pray. So we pray with authority over ourselves, over our spouse, over our minor children. Then we call upon Almighty God to cast out any evil that's affecting our adult children, our grandchildren. And we pray for family unity. We pray for peace in the family. We pray for reconciliation. And we'll also invoke St. Joseph today, as we've been doing this week, because, of course, his feast day is next Tuesday. And we're praying a special novena. But let's begin, my friends, as we begin all good things, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you've given me as a spouse and a parent. And I lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult action or any evil affecting me or my spouse or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I cast out all evil spirits that are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and I cast them out. For my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fear, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and any and all mental and physical illnesses. Restore us to full health. I especially ask for the following specific grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And now, my friends, we raise up all of our special intentions that we're praying for right now, and especially those family intentions. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. Bring back any of us who have wandered from the faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. I make this parent's prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family with the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph and all the saints. Amen. And let's pray our prayers to Saint Michael and to our Blessed Mother, as Holy Father asks us to pray these two particular prayers every day. To protect the church from the attacks of the devil, and we add to that to protect our families, our homes, and our country from the attacks of the devil. And so we pray, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. We fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. And we pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Holy Family of Nazareth, we love you. Pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. And we'll pray the Memorare to St. Joseph. As I mentioned to you, my friends, we're praying, our family is praying a very special novena, and it began on Monday because next Tuesday is the feast day, the solemnity of St. Joseph. And we've been praying for a very, very special intention, and we're going to St. Joseph in a special way. And the novena can be, if you Google St. Joseph Novena, you can find it anywhere, but we pray it. It's on the EWTN website. If you haven't yet begun your novena to St. Joseph, as I've been saying, just start right now. Again, the Lord, he's outside of time. He's not checking off the days. He didn't say, you missed the first day, can't do it. Don't do that. Don't fall. Just pray. And if you would, for all of your intentions, of course, St. Joseph, a very powerful intercessor. But we know as head of the Holy Family, as protector of the universal church, as patron of fathers, we go to him in a special way for family healing, family unity, family peace. So if you have issues with your family or you know someone who does, pray this novena. And I ask you, please, as I said, we're praying for a very special family intention. Please pray for us, the Manfredonia family. We really are asking. We're just going full force with the power of St. Joseph over the next number of days leading up to his feast day on Tuesday, the 19th. So let's pray this memorare. Remember, O most chaste spouse of Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who implored your help and sought your intercession was left unassisted. Full of confidence in your power, I fly unto you and beg your protection. Despise not, O guardian of the Redeemer, my humble supplication, but in your bounty hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And also, my friends, I should have mentioned this to you. Please pray for Domestic Church Media. We are going to have our annual spring radiothon Easter week, Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday. That's the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of April. And it is our major fundraiser of the year. So I ask you, please, to pray on what you believe, what you feel the Lord may be calling you to. We are seeking out matching gifts of $500 or more that we can use during the Radiothon, because that's always a great incentive for people to give. It is Easter week, that beautiful period within the octave of Easter, Easter Sunday through the following Sunday, Divine Mercy Sunday. Every day is an Easter day. It's not just Easter Sunday. It's Easter Monday, Easter Tuesday, Easter Wednesday, all the way up to the following Sunday. One long 8-day Easter day. And so we're going to have our radiothon Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday. And we're praying that as we celebrate the glory of Almighty God, the glory of Jesus, his resurrection, our salvation, that our brothers and sisters who make Domestic Church Media a part of their day regularly will support us financially so that we can continue to do this. And so please pray for that as well. We do need, just like everybody else, we know the economy has just gone crazy, and just like everybody else, our costs have gone up. Insurance and utilities, and it's all gone up. And we can only pay our bills through your generosity. So I ask you all, please spread the word, and perhaps your parish, your prayer group can make a special donation. If I have any pastors listening, fathers or deacons or priests in parishes, and you listen to Catholic radio and you know the importance of Catholic radio, you know the impact it has on the people of God, please, could you help us out, either a second collection or put a basket out in the foyer and let people know it's the Catholic Radio Radiothon coming up on Easter, and people to be generous and support us in any way you can, because we do need you. We're here to help you. We're here to help get your people back in the pews. People listen to Catholic radio. A lot of people listen. And the Lord leads people to this apostolate on the radio, especially in very many surprising ways. And you never know how many people will be coming home to you during Easter because of what they've heard here on Catholic radio. So we want to keep these airwaves open. So please pray about that. Okay, so Holy Father, yesterday, his general audience, he opened a new series, or not a new series, but a new chapter in his current and ongoing catechetical series on vices and virtue, shifting his reflection to the origins and nature of virtue itself and underscoring its value for human formation. Holy Father taught yesterday, virtue is a habitus of freedom. If we are free in every act and every time, we are required to choose between good and evil. Virtue is what enables us to have a tendency toward the right choice. And we've been talking about this, you know, the choices that we make, the great gift of free will that we have, that Almighty God has given us to make these choices. We're not puppets. He created us in his own image and likeness, body and soul, but gives us this great gift of free will so we can decide. We can make the choice. So it's up to us, again, getting back to having a well-formed Catholic conscience, knowing good and evil, and then free in every act and every time that we have a choice between good and evil. And virtue is what enables us to have a tendency toward that right choice. So we have to nurture our virtues and build them up and solidify them, right? The Holy Father said, building upon this notion of virtue is an integral and innate characteristic that enables humans to differentiate between good and evil. He noted that it's not an improvised or somewhat random good that falls from heaven sporadically, but a goodness that stems from a slow maturation of the person to the point of becoming an inner characteristic. You know, and you put it all in perspective, and our church teaches that parents are the first heralds of the faith to their children. Parents are the first teachers of their children. Parents need to begin teaching virtue as soon as the child starts to understand that there are things they can and cannot do, right? And they get to that point of the age of reason. I'm assuming it's still 7 years old. It was when I was growing up. And people understand, young children understand right and wrong, that age of reason where they can reason. And so parents have the responsibility in those first formative years especially to lead children in the right direction, teaching right from wrong and not being afraid. You know, I've used this quote, and he made it many, many years ago, the former Archbishop of Philadelphia, Archbishop Charles Chaput. And there's a ladybug that's a good sign, I think, right? When a ladybug appears, that there might be some dough coming our way. It's just crawling over here. Thank you, Jesus. But Archbishop Charles Chaput said, and this is, I think he's, you know, probably about 10 years ago, we've allowed the culture to catechize our people. You see, again, another reason why Catholic radio was so important, because we have to be there. You know, the secular media uses these same platforms that we use, but they're teaching, certainly in many cases, things that are leading people astray and catechizing people, in a sense, teaching them what the world says is right and wrong. Well, we know who is the prince of this world is also the father of lies. Satan never tells the truth. And so if the culture is under the influence of the evil one, as many, many media outlets are and individuals in the media, they're going to teach people certainly things that are completely opposite of what the church teaches as right and wrong. And this isn't something, as Holy Father says, it's not this ability to differentiate between good and evil or right and wrong. It doesn't just sporadically fall from heaven, but it comes from a slow maturation of the individual. And the Holy Father pointed out and pointed to the saints, arguing that they should not be thought of as exceptions of humanity or a sort of restricted circle of champions who live beyond the limits of our species. Well, sometimes we get that impression, right? That there's some of these saints, look at someone like Padre Pio or Catherine of Siena or Saint Anthony or Saint Francis, these holy of holies that we could never aspire to. Holy Father says, don't think of them that way. Don't think that these are exceptions of humanity or a sort of restricted circle of champions who live beyond our limits. But think of them as those who become themselves fully, who fulfill the vocation proper to every man or woman. We're all called, you hear Mother say all the time, I'm going to echo what she said, we're all called to be saints, Mother said. And then she says, don't miss the opportunity, Mother Angelica. You know, one day, please God, we will find ourselves spending eternity in heaven. Well, once we make it to heaven, we are a saint. We're there counted among the blessed, the holy, and the blessed. We may not be in the official canon of the church that says this person is in heaven. You know, that's what the canonization process does. When a person is declared a saint and put in the canon, which is just a list of people that the church says for sure are in heaven. But if your grandmother or your dad or your child or acquaintance is now in heaven, he or she is a saint. And that's our aspiration. That's where we were created to be with God forever in heaven. That's why he made us, right? We know the old Baltimore Catechism. Why did God make me? God made me to know him, to love him, to serve him in this life so that I can be happy with him forever in the next. And so Holy Father says, when we look at the saints who the church declares are in heaven, don't look at them as exceptions to humanity, but those who have become themselves fully what God has created them to be, who fulfill the vocation that is proper to all of us. We're all created in God's own image and likeness. We're all children of God, and we're called to be with him forever in heaven. Therefore, Holy Father said, the exercise of the virtues is the fruit of long germination, requiring effort and even suffering. Well, this time of year, Lent, we set out on this journey toward the six-week journey toward Easter. On Ash Wednesday, we start our journey, our Lenten journey, with great intention. And I think really deep down, when we look at all the things that we're hoping to accomplish spiritually, you know, through our mortifications, giving up something or building up certain characteristics in our personality that would allow us to gravitate closer to the Lord, it's all really working on virtue, right? It's all working on those virtues that we're called to nurture, to build up in ourselves. And yes, it does require suffering sometimes because it's not easy, Holy Father said. It requires effort. And probably most of us, I know I have, in our determinations, have fallen. You know, I've picked myself up and I got back on, you know, my attempts and desire in my Lenten exercises. You know, not been easy. But the Holy Father also stressed the importance of developing virtuous actions and attitudes against the backdrop of what he characterized as these dramatic times of ours, which often have come to terms with the worst of humanity. You know, every year when Cheryl and I take our little winter break and we go out to the desert, out to Our Lady of Solitude Monastery, Tonopah, Phoenix area, I try to bring with me, I have the book of the writings of the Desert Fathers. And one of the quotes in there, I think it was St. Anthony of the Desert, one of his friars asked him, why do we have to battle Satan in our life? And I'm paraphrasing, but St. Anthony of the Desert said, we have it, and again, I'm paraphrasing, we have it easy. There will come a time. Well, we have it easy because we're dealing with the devil, with Satan chained. This is, a couple thousand years ago, almost. But he said, there will come a time when people will have to deal with Satan unchained. And I believe that's our time. I believe we are dealing with Satan unchained. Now, we can go back to the vision of Pope Leo XIII, where he heard the Lord give Satan 100 years. 100 years. And many people believe that began in 1917, the first apparition of Fatima during the First World War. We certainly have passed 2017, but there are others who think it may have begun later. But we've seen horrible things over the past 100-plus years in the world. The Holocaust, 2 world wars, nuclear armament, nuclear destruction, threats of nuclear war, and also the immorality of the human race, especially in the West. So Holy Father is saying these are dramatic times, and we know they are. And it's important now, especially, to develop virtuous actions and attitudes against that backdrop. You and I have to be the ones who raise up goodness and holiness in the midst of what the Holy Father says is the worst of humanity right now. It's a distorted world, Pope Francis said. We must remember the form in which we were shaped, the image of God that is forever imprinted upon us. And he said, what a happy world it would be. Oops, sorry, I skipped my little, I'm working on my little laptop here, and sometimes it doesn't quite cooperate. What a happy world it would be if justice, respect, mutual benevolence, broad-mindedness, and hope were the shared normality instead of a rare anomaly. Yet, it is precisely because the human heart can indulge evil passions, which in turn can pay heed to harmful temptations disguised as persuasive garb. The Holy Father reminded us that the human being is not a free territory for the conquest of pleasures, emotions, instincts, passions. And he emphasized that the human being is made for goodness, underscoring that cultivating virtue, the mirror image of vice, is built upon open-mindedness and the wisdom that can learn from mistakes, a gift from the Holy Spirit. And we have to be, we have to be aware of that. He said the Holy Spirit acts in us who have been baptized, working in our soul to lead us to a virtuous life. How many Christians have reached holiness through tears, finding they could not overcome some of their weaknesses? But they experienced that God completed that work of good that for them was only a sketch. Grace always precedes our moral commitment. So again, it's an ongoing, lifelong journey. As I've quoted Holy Father St. Pope John Paul II, when he said conversion is not a one-time event in our life, but rather an ongoing ongoing in our, throughout our life. It's an ongoing experience that we're continually going through a conversion and trying to build up our virtue, trying to live a virtuous life, of being that image, reflecting that image of God to all we meet, since we are made in His own image and likeness, especially in a world like today that is so hostile to virtue in many ways, and what we believe and what we know to be true and good and holy. We become targets, and our lifestyle and our desire for holiness becomes a target. And so we have to do everything we possibly can to continue to build it up, continue to live it, and work on our own virtues along the way. And couldn't have said it any better, Holy Father. Thank you for that. So I'll take a break. When I come back, we will go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church and begin our teaching today from the Catechism on the sixth commandment. So stay where you are, my friends. I'll be back in just a bit. Don't go away.
"60 Seconds with Mother Angelica."
God created each one of us, but he had in mind, regardless of how we look from childhood to old age, we change physically, but we don't change in his mind. See? Why? Because God has a specific degree of union with him, holiness we call it, for every one of you. And it's all different. See, we're all different. And we are called to be different because it glorifies God. He just doesn't make robots. Now, why you say, well, why are some holier than others? Well, that's your fault. That's not his fault. If we accept the good, the bad, and indifferent of every day, we'll all be holy in a different way.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN. 60 Seconds with Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen.
Man who's free to love is free to hate. He who is free to obey is free to rebel. Virtue in this concrete order is possible only in those spheres in which it is possible to be vicious. A man can be a saint only in a church in which it is possible to be a devil. You say, well, if I were God, I would destroy evil. Well, if you did that, you would destroy human freedom. God will not destroy freedom. If we do not want any dictators on this earth, certainly we do not want any dictators in the kingdom of heaven. And those, therefore, who would blame God for allowing man freedom to go on hindering and thwarting his work are like those who, seeing blots and smudges and errors in the student's notebook, would condemn the teacher for not snatching away the book and doing the copy himself.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Teresa Tomeo.
Every time I go to Mass and see my husband serving on the altar as a deacon, it hits me how, with God, all things are possible. I mean, there is no way that we should be still married, number one, based on all the problems we had. But number two, the fact that I'm in Catholic media and my husband is a deacon is simply a testimony to the power of God and the teachings of the church that saved our marriage and, more importantly, our souls.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, heard right here on Domestic Church Media, weeknights at 5.
Pope Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
My family left the church because of a very negative experience with a specific priest, and that took my whole family away from going to church for a long period of time. There were other Catholic churches, and there were great Catholic churches and great priests, but we stopped because of that one specific instance. And in a way, I was cheated out a big part of my journey and my life. Because we weren't in the church. In life, it seems like we're always enslaved to something. And I think that's basically what our culture is all about right now, is we are enslaved to power or to greed or to wealth or to lust. But there's a true freedom to not be enslaved, but to attach ourselves to God and to be free. My involvement in the church, my relationship with God, is who I am. It's what gives me my identity. Thank God I'm home.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Bishop Robert Barron.
Tolkien has reached out to, you know, Nordic culture and literature and Icelandic sagas and all sorts of things. He learned a lot about the good, the true, and the beautiful from his study of pre-Christian cultures. He used narrative forms that were accessible to the culture. He adapted that to evangelical purposes. So that shows you that flexibility. It shows you a certain creativity in the evangelical art. He did not proselytize. Rather, he very delicately and indirectly and cleverly evangelized through the imagination, so that someone taking in these great stories of Tolkien or his friend C.S. Lewis, they're going to say, oh yeah, I get that. I recognize that pattern. So that finally when they hear the gospel, they'll say, yeah, I understand that. I learned that from The Lord of the Rings. I learned that pattern from the Narnia stories. That was the genius of those fellas.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back on this lovely March 14th. I just remembered it's what they call Pi Day. Pi Day. 3.14 is Pi. So, I guess it's Pi. Well, you can't have Pi. It's Lent. So, you know, got to wait till Sunday for that. You can break your Lenten fast on Sunday. Because if you count the days of Lent, the 40 days, it doesn't include Sunday. Every Sunday is like a little Easter. So you can have your treat on Sunday. And also on major solemnities like St. Joseph's Day next week, the 19th of March, of course, the Feast of St. Joseph. When if you go to Mass, and I hope you do, we sing the Gloria. That's how special that day is. And then also the Feast of the Annunciation. But I think this year, because March 25th. When is it? Is it Holy Week? I think it's Holy Week. I don't know if they're going to be celebrating it then. Yeah, it's Monday of Holy Week, so I don't believe they'll be celebrating the what they usually do is celebrate it the day after Easter, I think. Anyway, you can don't have pie today, even though it is Pi Day. Let's see. So, again, I mentioned my friends the Radiothon, our annual spring Radiothon, coming up Easter week, Easter Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of April. And I just ask you, please, to pray about that in any way you can help us, any way you can support us to get us through what are always the roughest months for us, the summer. And take us into the fall. That's why we have to do this. I wish we didn't. I wish we had, you know, major endowments and things that we could draw from, but we don't. And it costs us close now to $30,000 a month to operate everything. And it's gotten more expensive. So just like everything has gotten more expensive for you, we need these Catholic radio stations. We need all of our Catholic media. Because we have to have a voice in the media. You know, when we first began 20 years ago, radio, the terrestrial radio signal, what they called a footprint, you know, you reach certain numbers of people within your footprint of your radio signal. That was it. That was it. And you were limited to that. You know, when we first started and had our first teeny tiny 10-watt radio station over in Shrewsbury, which was 89.3 at the time, it was about a 10-watt signal and a little teeny tiny mustard seed. And I said then, I believe the Lord, through his great goodness to us, would allow that little mustard seed to blossom. And we have now 4 radio stations, and we're coming to you on all the different media platforms that are available to us. Streaming audio, you can download our free mobile app, listen and watch the program because we have a YouTube channel. We're coming to you, bringing you video on our Facebook page. We're heard on the Amazon Echo and Google Home devices. You know, you may have people that you know who say, gee, I don't get that. You know, I don't get domestic church media where I live. Well, yes, you do. You may not get them on the radio, but you get us on your Amazon Echo device or your Google Home device anywhere in the world on our free mobile app, anywhere in the world. On our streaming audio from our website, we have to keep saturating the airwaves And now, more than just the airwaves, but all the means of communication that are available to us. So none of that happens, though, my friends, without your prayers and your support. So please pray about that as we approach our Spring Radiothon in a few weeks from now. All right, so let's go to the Catechism. We've been doing and going through the Ten Commandments. And this is a little bit of the Sixth Commandment. You know, you get into, now you're getting to situations. If there are younger children listening, where you got to be a little careful on how we present this, because you don't want to discuss it in an age-inappropriate way. But the Sixth Commandment, you shall not commit adultery. And then there's a quote from Matthew 5, where Jesus said, "You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Those are the words of our Lord. And then let me just go to the next page here. There it goes. All right, so in paragraph 2331, the Catechism says and teaches, God is love, and in himself he lives a mystery of personal loving communion, creating the human race in his own image. God inscribed in the humanity of man and woman the vocation and thus the capacity and responsibility of love and communion. God created man in his own image, male and female he created them, Scripture. He blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. He made them male and female. That's it. There's no other sex. You know, the word gender is a relatively new word that was introduced in the middle of the 20th century that allowed then the eventual expansion of other types of our species. I mean, I don't know how else to phrase it. But we have two sexes, male and female, period. There's no denying that. You know. In paragraph 2332, our catechism says, sexuality affects all aspects of the human person in the unity of his body and soul. It especially concerns affectively the capacity to love and to procreate, in a more general way, the aptitude for forming bonds of communion with others. Everyone, man and woman, should acknowledge and accept his sexual identity. Interesting how in the Catechism, which was given to us over 30 years ago, 1993, uses this term. Everyone, man and woman, should acknowledge and accept his sexual identity, because you're either male or female. Physical, moral, and spiritual differences and complementarity are oriented toward the goods of marriage and the flourishing of family life. The harmony of the couple and of society depends in part on the way in which the complementarity, needs, and mutual support between the sexes are lived out. Look, we don't have to go into detail, but you know there is a difference between men and women, a man and woman, but there's also a complementarity of the two that is God created for a specific purpose. For procreation, be fruitful and multiply, and here's how that happens. And it's the only way it happens. The only permitted way. You know, we talked yesterday about in vitro fertilization, which is the destruction of human life because more than one egg is artificially fertilized, and the others are either frozen, you know, and they're all fertilized, but the others that are not used are either frozen or thrown out. God created man and woman the way he created us to be this way for the purpose of procreation. And also, there's a unitive, you know, there's the procreative aspect, also the unitive component of that in marriage. In paragraph 2334, our catechism says, in creating men, male and female, God gives man and woman an equal personal dignity. Okay, so very important, because man is a person, a man and woman equally so, since both were created in the image and likeness of the personal God. Men and women are different in physical ways, obviously. It's very obvious. But they're equal in dignity. Equal in dignity, because both men and women are created in God's own image and likeness. Now, we use masculine pronouns when we refer to God the Father. We know Jesus was a man. I mean, he was true God and true man. And we may even use a masculine pronoun referring to the Holy Spirit and God in general. But God is neither male nor female. He created men and women in his own image and likeness to be complementary to each other in the way he created us physically. There's a difference for that purpose. But he created us to be equal in dignity, and that's what the Catechism teaches. Each of the two sexes is an image of the power and tenderness of God, it says in paragraph 2335. With equal dignity, though in a different way, the union of man and woman in marriage is a way of imitating in the flesh the Creator's generosity and fecundity. Therefore, a man leaves his mother and father and cleaves to his wife, and they become one flesh, this is of course Scripture, and all human generations proceed from this union. We can go back, you know, look at our parents, our mother and father. It took a man and a woman in cooperation with Almighty God for us to be created in the first place. when a man and a woman in marriage, and that's what, you know, that's the way God intended it. Of course, that's been grossly abused from the beginning, really, after the fall. But God created man and woman the way he created them so that the human race would continue. And when a husband and wife in their conjugal act, through the great gift of their individual sexuality that God gave them, each one individually, man and woman, through that way means, and in that way is how God intended, in cooperating with him, as he infuses an immortal soul at that moment of conception, to create a new human being. It's the only way it's going to happen, the way God intended it. So this teaching in our catechism on the sixth commandment begins by going through the ways and means that God intended male and female, men and women, to live their lives. And then in paragraph 2336, it says, Jesus came to restore creation to the purity of its origins. In the Sermon on the Mount, he interprets God's plan strictly. And he quotes, and this is from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 27:28. You have heard it that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And, of course, that also refers to the woman looking at a man. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. The tradition of the church has understood the sixth commandment as encompassing the whole of human sexuality. And then in the next section, it talks about the vocation to chastity. In paragraph 2337, chastity means the successful integration of sexuality within the person and thus the inner unity of man and his bodily and spiritual being. sexuality in which man's belonging to the bodily and biological world is expressed becomes personal and truly human when it is integrated into the relationship of one person to another, in the complete and lifelong mutual gift of a man and a woman. The virtue of chastity, therefore, involves the integrity of the person and the integrality of the gift, the integrity of the person. What this is referring to, of course, is that even in marriage, couples are called to chastity. Now, what is chastity? Chastity is a purity of the act. And certainly there are offenses against chastity even within marriage, right? The chaste person maintains the integrity of the powers of life and love placed in him. This integrity ensures the unity of the person. It is opposed to any behavior that would impair it. It tolerates neither a double life nor duplicity in speech. Chastity includes an apprenticeship in self-mastery, which is a training in human freedom. The alternative is clear. Either man governs his passions and finds peace, or he lets himself be dominated by them and becomes unhappy. Man's dignity, therefore, requires him to act out of conscious and free choice, as moved and drawn in a personal way from within, and not by blind impulses in himself or by mere external constraint. Man gains such dignity when, ridding himself of all slavery to the passions, he presses forward to his goal by freely choosing what is good and, by his diligence and skill, effectively secures for himself the means suited to this end. So the purpose, as we know, God created male and female the way he created us in order to, in that bond of marriage, to be a twofold purpose, to be unitive, to bring the couple closer than you can be with any other person in the entire world, and also to be procreative. Well, if one of those is not there, the unitive aspect or the procreative aspect, there is a problem. You know, St. Pope John Paul II, in his teaching on theology of the body many, many years ago, was talking about pornography in one section. And he said, it's not that pornography shows too much. It shows too little, he said. In other words, it doesn't show the true purpose of the sexual act of being both procreative and unitive. And so what the Catechism is saying is that man has passions, man has tendencies, man has compulsions, and you know, especially when it comes to sexuality, there has to be a self-control, there has to be the ability to self-mastery, to know and to use the gift that God has given each person, male and female, the gift of their sexuality for the purpose for which it was given, and not abuse it. In paragraph 2340, whoever wants to remain faithful to his baptismal promises and resist temptation will want to adopt the means for doing so: self-knowledge, practice of ascesis and adapted to the situations that confront him, obedience to God's commandments, exercise of the moral virtues, the fidelity to prayer. Indeed, it is through chastity that we are gathered together and led back to the unity from which we were fragmented into multiplicity. The virtue of chastity comes under the cardinal virtue of temperance, which seeks to permeate the passions and appetites of the senses with reason. Now, there's another virtue, the virtue of temperance. Self-mastery is a long and exacting work. One can never consider it acquired once and for all. It presupposes renewed effort at all stages of life. The effort required can be more intense in certain periods, such as when the personality of being formed during childhood and adolescence. Well, look at what our children are exposed to today. My goodness, you know, especially if they have access to the internet and iPhones and things and the things they can see, the things they that the world is teaching them as normal behavior. There was a survey I saw last night, Cheryl and I were watching a program about who's identifying as LGBTQ plus, whatever they want to, you know, add on to that. And it showed that 2% of baby boomers surveyed, that's people like me, you, most of us, only 2% of baby boomers identified as LGBTQ plus. And it went through the generations. And it got to the current generation, and I forget what they're called. Gen Z, is it? I don't know. But 22% of those young people say they identified as LGBTQ. So you see the influence. I'm going to have to find that poll. You know, from the baby boomers, 2% identified as having those tendencies, same-sex attraction, basically, to the current generation, and it increased with each following generation, the millennials, the Gen Xers, and then the current generation. Now, 22% of them say that they identify as LGBTQ, as opposed to 2% of baby boomers. But you see a lot of that. I mean, you can obviously pinpoint the wide acceptance of that, and not only the wide acceptance of that type of behavior and influence, but the promotion of it. And it obviously has a direct effect on individual sexuality, on chastity, on temperance. So you see how this is working and what the secular media especially can do and the kinds of influences it has, especially over young people who have access to all forms of media. You know, I mean, no matter what they're on, whether it's, you know, their iPhone, the internet, television, movies, the influence that's there telling them that it's okay to have these types of relationships and behaviors. Tendency is a different story. You know, that in itself is not a sin, but the act is. So I'm going to stop here, and we'll be back. No, tomorrow's Friday. Friday Live, 4 o'clock. Join Cheryl and me. Deacon Anthony will be here. Father Imbarato. We have music talk, all kinds of stuff. So join us at 4 o'clock. Have a great rest of your day, and enjoy this beautiful weather today on this Pi Day. My name is Jim Manfredonia. Thank you for listening. God bless you, and God love you.